Today's reading is from Isaiah chapter 25. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things. Plans formed of old, faithful and sure, for you have made the city a heap, the fortified city a ruin. The palace of aliens is a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore, strong peoples will glorify you. Cities of ruthless nations will fear you. For you have been a refuge to the poor, a refuge to the needy in their distress, a shelter from the rainstorm and a shade from the heat. When the blast of the ruthless was like a winter rainstorm, the noise of aliens like heat in a dry place, you subdued the heat with the shade of clouds. The song of the ruthless was stilled. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, a rich food filled with marrow of well-aged wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the grace of his people will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. The word of the Lord.
A reading from Matthew. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, Tell those who have been invited, Look, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go, therefore, into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet. Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad, so the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guest, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables. Don't ever forget when you are reading a Bible story that it is always part of a larger story. To know who the them are and why Jesus was speaking to them in parables, you have to back up in Matthew's gospel. First, you will find that this parable is the third in a series. The series of parables follows Jesus' triumphant Palm Sunday entry into Jerusalem just days before his crucifixion. After being hailed with hosannas, Jesus went into the temple and cleaned house. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the merchants and drove them out. Then he started curing the blind and the lame. Then he did some teaching. Then The chief priests and elders asked him by whose authority he was doing those things. Jesus never did answer that question, but he did tell them some scorching parables. We read the first parable that Jesus told the chief priests and elders 2 weeks ago. It was a story of two sons, one doing and one not doing their father's will. The point of it was that God desires changed hearts and changed lives, active in service. The chief priest and elders were only giving lip service to God and not really paying attention to God's will, and especially not paying attention to Jesus. We read the second parable last week. It was a story about wicked tenants in a vineyard who killed the vineyard owner's servants and son. The point was that the kingdom of heaven would be taken away from those who enacted their own evil will by killing God's prophets and son, and given instead to those who accepted God's son, Jesus. The third of the series is today's parable of the wedding banquet. Just as the imagery of the vineyard and good fruit were rooted in the Old Testament and well known by the chief priest and the elders, the imagery in today's parable is likewise rooted and would have been likewise well known. Isaiah proclaimed that God was going to make a feast on the mountain. Such feasting would express God's blessing of God's people. Actually, the feast promise is originally recorded in Deuteronomy and based on the people's observance of the commandments. If they followed the commandments, then God would provide the feast. When Isaiah renewed the promise some 400 years later, the people were not doing a very good job of keeping the commandments. The feast was obviously never going to happen as a reward. But the feast could come based on God's faithfulness. Even though the people were sinful, God could provide a way to bring them into God's presence. That was a reason for celebration. Last week I said that the violence in the second parable did not seem to be an exaggeration at all to me, based on our current state of world affairs. But parables don't have to be any more realistic than fairy tales. They're told to make a point. And if exaggerating the details emphasizes the point, that's okay. This one starts like a fairy tale. The king was throwing a wedding party for his son. A king's party is always an event of events. Just ask Cinderella. Who wouldn't want to go to a king's party? Well, in this story, all those invited didn't want to go. In this story, those invited considered their own business more important. They made a joke of the king's party. They even killed the slaves whose only mission was to bring them to a party. The king was so enraged that he killed them all. With dinner on the table, he wiped them out. He had invited them all to a joyful celebration. They refused and paid with their lives. This parable affirmed and expanded the meaning of the previous two parables. The chief priests and elders, by birthright, heritage, and tradition, had been invited into a special relationship with God. But they acted like they didn't even want the invitation. Over the centuries, some of God's prophets were killed. And these particular chief priests and elders were already considering killing Jesus. So their special status with God was going to be taken away from them and given to those who would come to the party. Jesus was bringing a new covenant relationship that was based solely on God's grace. Next in the parable, everyone from the streets were invited, both good and bad. One guest, however, was found to be without a wedding garment and was thrown out. The point isn't that you have to dress or look a certain way to attend God's party. Everyone knew a special garment was expected for a wedding banquet. Maybe you bought one, maybe you borrowed one, maybe the king supplied them. For whatever reason, one guest decided not to do what was expected. In early Christianity, from which Matthew was writing his gospel, the conversion to Christianity was often pictured as putting on a new set of clothes. That meant that converts gave up their old ways of life and took on the new ways of Christ. It meant that declaring faith in Jesus without any attention to God's will wasn't really faith at all. That was just like the chief priests and elders, only paying lip service to God, but not paying attention to what God expected of them. The good news of the story is that the new invitees are the good and the bad of the world. So that's the gospel in the word today. We're not invited to party with God based on how good we are. But when we accept God's invitation, we are expected to put on the appropriate attire. Our new life in Christ. That's the law in the word today. So what is that new life in Christ supposed to look like? Well, most of the Bible, Old and New Testament, gives us the answer to that question. Here's a really good sample from Paul's letter to the Romans. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought of what is noble in the sight of all. Live peaceably with all. Never avenge yourselves. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So do that. That's how we express our understanding of and thankfulness for God's invitation to salvation. Amen.